just wanted to get up and testify. You know, I had a pain in my back earlier today. It just kind of bothered me all day, and I was getting ready for to come here. I was like, Lord, just take this away from me. I just want to enjoy your word tonight. I just, you know, take this away. I'll get up and I'll praise you about it. And so he took it away. So I had to thank him, you know, publicly. Because, you know, he's really done everything. He answers me when I ask him for something. And I answer him when he asks me to do something. You know, this is a moving word. And, you know, I understand why those letters are red, because there's flesh and blood. The word is made flesh, you know, and that's a living word. And I'm just grateful, and I'm so thankful to just have his healing touch and to be able to enjoy this thing, because, man, I don't take this for granted. You know, I want my undivided attention. I don't want to be in pain. I want to drop everything at the door, come in here and freely praise him. So God bless you.
Sing, Fill My Way With Love. Find that real quick.
Come to worship him myself. That's the only reason I'm here. Hear his word and worship him for it. You know, I was thinking the other day about the, you know, you want to get closer to God, you read and pray. Read your Bible and pray. I say, yeah, take it in. Give him something to work with. And then pray, he quickens it. That's the way home. That's a revelation. That's an understanding. That's a son of God. Amen. That's walking by faith.
It's page 28.
Blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone, leading straight to the
of all of our praise. And I just want to thank God so much for being here. And also what the revelation brings. You know, Amen. If you stake your claim on this revelation and you use the word and you apply it, it's miracle. Amen. It is a miracle journey. And I'm just so thankful for God. And I'm just so happy. I'm just so happy. And I want to thank God for healing my son. I'm just so thankful for that. You know, I came back into the house to give praise on that. And then another thing I just want to say, too, is I have to take pills every day. And I don't want to be addicted. And didn't even think about it until this brother just got up here. I can't walk unless I take pain pills. And I don't want that to be so. Amen. But have I ever thought about getting up in front of the body? No. I don't know. I've been thinking about everybody else, but I did not think about me. But my husband knows is I can't walk unless I take pain pills to walk. So I just want to thank God for that. I want to thank God that I can still walk, you know, because there's so many people that can't walk, you know, and I'm just so thankful. Everything that he has done, everything that he has shown me, and the revelation is just opening up more and more. It's getting brighter and brighter how to use it, how to apply it really to your life. Not just say it or not just listen, but to apply it to every area of your life. And I'm just so thankful for that. And I just give God all the praise and the glory for that. He is worthy. Him alone, he's worthy.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
I just got a real simple thought, and that is, you know, I can freely receive this word. You know, that makes me one in a million. I just thank God that this has been open to me. I am so grateful. I just sit at home. I work, and I just have the scriptures. So in between phone calls, I just read them, and I just ponder on these things. And I just thank God that, you know, I've been reading the Gospels. And I know I've heard it said here that, you know, the way you receive the word now is how it would have been if you were walking with Jesus. And I thank God that I'm receiving this word. This is what I live for. And I look forward to doing my part, you know, and receiving from God. And the fact that I'm freely worshiping him now and receiving the word in 2023.
Amen.
I would have been doing the same had I been fellowshipping with Jesus. And I just thank God for that, because I don't know. I'm just so looking forward to what's coming ahead. Amen.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
I just want to praise God. I thank God for being retired. Amen. You know, I slowed my life down. Amen. And I've given more concentration and thought to the Word of God. Yeah. You know, the other day, I woke up in the middle of the night just thinking on the love. And I just soaked my pillow just Amen. Thinking on the love of God and what he's done for me.
Yes.
You know, and I thank God for a helpmate.
Yes.
You know, that we can
yes.
sit there in the mornings and just read the scriptures and talk Lord, about yes. the word of God. And like you say, Brother Don, you got to give him something to work with.
Yes.
Oh, yes. You know, you pray and read the Bible,
because
that's how it works. You got to give him something to work with.
Right.
You know, I just thank God for being part of the bride. Thank God for being God in flesh.
Yes.
Thank God for that. When I walk out there, that's the God they see.
Yes.
You know, we're also, I've said this before, watching these silly little Christian shows, and you know, they had this one, and this it was supposed to be God, and I thinking they're so mixed up, but I am God in flesh.
Amen.
And when I walk out there, I have the words of eternal life.
That's right.
And if you touch me just right,
Amen.
And I just praise God for that, and I know who touches me. You know, we'll talk and I'll say, this person touched me.
Touched me.
Yeah. And I felt it. You know, and I just love this. I love this truth. I want to praise God.
Yes.
I want to give my all. I just want to totally surrender.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I wanted to get up here, too, because I was just, you know, I've been thinking about how thankful I am and how much God has done for me.
And, you know, my husband and I have been talking because we've been really enjoying these Sunday night services. Because, you know, a lot of this I learned when I was a kid. Well, I say learned. They preach about it. I didn't really understand it. And now I'm understanding, and it gives so much more, like, depth. And, you know, we've been reading and we've been praying, and it, you know, gives us the opportunity to have conversations at home and really, like, dwell on the world and word and make it a priority in our home, you know, especially right. with Amen. Us, you know, getting ready to have a son. And another thing that I'm just really thankful for is, you know, how much power and peace that the word gives you. Because with this, you know, pregnancy, I try not to be too anxious, but sometimes it happens. And, you know, I'll think about how, like, I'll focus on, you know, is he moving enough? And one of the things that I'm always so grateful for is that if I just sit down and pray, the moment I start praying, he just starts moving and bouncing. And I'm just, this message and this, the revelation that we have, it's such a powerful thing. And also, I just want to say thank you again to everyone for my shower, because, you know, having a body that supports you, because I was thinking about it, and every single one of, I mean, you guys, but also, like, the women that came, they prayed for me at the beginning of my pregnancy when things were looking scary. And I'm just so thankful, and I don't ever want to take that for granted, what we have here.
I love him so much. And Brother Dwayne gave us a song yesterday, was it? And it was beautiful. Now, I can't sing all of it, but when I think of the goodness of Jesus, you see. When I think of the slow down lowness of Jesus and all he has done for me, oh, my soul cries out,
should get
that's
up.
Time to move.
I'm thankful for this body. I'm thankful that God has given me a body that, you know, you come, you bring things for the body. They pray for you. You see results. Amen. And I thank God for that because, you know, I ask you guys to pray for my children, my daughters. Yes. You know, a mom loves her children.
Oh, yes.
You know, I see a sister having a baby. You know, my girlfriend texted me today and said, hey, I went by your house. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's the house I sold many moons ago. You know, you think back and you look at your life. And one of my dear precious sisters says, you want to look at your dash. What's going on in your dash? You know, are you surrendering to God? And I thank God when I take my hands off, I bring it toward the body, that I see results.
Yes.
And to that end, I just say that I'm thankful that I see results. I'm thankful that God has shown me that he hears, that he cares, and that I have a word that I can rely on. And I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, it's a beautiful thing when you say, my soul cries out, hallelujah.
Yeah.
No matter what, my soul always cries out. Even when the flesh doesn't like it, the other two realms don't like it, that that soul says amen. I thank God that you, like Brother Lockett always says, you got to have a new birth. I thank God for that new birth because it centers you. You know, the world's to and fro, but I thank God for a rest. I thank God for I can come in and this is a peaceful place.
Yes.
That, you know, we walk, it's like you walk in, almost step into a different dimension. You come That's in, right. You may have all the stresses of the world, but you walked in and you made it.
Yes.
I'm like, you should pat yourself on the back. You made it one more time. Yeah. It's a blessing. It's a privilege to be here, to count yourself amongst one of them. You know, I thank God for that. I don't take it lightly because, you know, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. And while I can raise my hands and I can clap my hands and raise my voice, I want to do it.
Amen.
I want to be a willing vessel. He's been so good to me. I see my little sister here about to have a baby. A little girl that it's a beautiful thing because I see where she's put her emphasis at. I can see the manifestation of it.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's one thing to talk about it, but when that child comes,
come on.
That's now a manifestation of that promise. Yeah. I love that because eventually I know I'm going to have a body change. I know I'm going to see my loved one. I'm going to see Brother Childers. Oh, yeah. The time change made me think of Brother Bob. He'd always call us. And remind me of the time. He'd always remember my birthday. I miss him. I miss my loved ones. And they're pulling on me like I'm pulling on them. But I know that I have a promise. I know that what has been done, but I also know what has to happen.
That's right.
And I thank God for that revelation. And I just wanted to get up. I wanted to, you know, raise my... I don't want to be starched. I want to shake...
Oh, no.
You know, we'll sit there. We'll clap our hands and yell and hoot and holler at sports events. And we'll... Everything else, I want to come in here and I want to raise my hands.
Amen.
Even if it hurts or if you're sore, if you're tired,
right.
I'm never too tired for this. I love this message. I love this body. I love the fact that no matter what, my soul rejoices.
Yes.
And my soul rejoices with everyone else because we're a many-membered body. It's just such a beautiful revelation because I sit there and my wife asks me, like, you don't worry about anything. I'm like, what is there to worry about? I'm signed, sealed, delivered. You don't have a stress. Like if you apply this, and you really put your life in this, there's not. You won't be swayed. You won't sit there and like all to and fro the worries of the world. I know God's got it. I know that I have a promise to cross that finish line. I know that if I put it in God's hands,
that's right.
He'll make a way. He's always raised a standard no matter what has come the way. So that's what I love about it because if the flesh doesn't like it, my soul still rejoices. Because it's the truth. I love it because of a believer that when you have that birth, you got that voice, you can hear it. You know, even if it hurts sometimes, you're like, it's still the truth. It's still the truth. And I thank God for revelation. I thank God Amen. I have an ear to hear, and I can identify as one of them.
Amen. Amen. Hate to double dip, but I feel like double dipping. I don't think I got it out the first time. You know, I was sitting here thinking about Brother Childers, you know, sat there for 20 years. Worked with him for, I don't know, ever, it seemed like. But he, you know, he had some sayings, you know. One of them is don't let the devil lull you to sleep. He'd say it over and over, you know. He was an overcomer. You know, he didn't even say much about his flesh. You ask him about his flesh, he's a strong man. He's an honest man. He's a sensible man. You know, he can whip the devil like putting his pants on, you know. He didn't take down for the devil nowhere, no how. You know, I'm sure his prayers were a little different, but out in public, he's the strongest man you've ever seen. He'd look at the rest of us and say, you know, I'm the only one got it, you know. Kind of made us doubt for a minute and then we think, well, I got it too, you know. But, you know, he set the pace, even on the job. He set the pace. He come in running. He come in, boys, we got to get it. Got to get something done today, you know, get something accomplished, you know, and the same thing goes for the church. You know, we got a job to do. So, yeah, we'll get the debt up one day, but we ain't got the debt up yet. So we got a job to do in the meantime. We got to get something accomplished, you know. We're here to praise him. We're here to give him everything we got, you know. Sometimes I think, I do it myself. Just talk about me. I don't think about praising him until I come through the door. And I think, no, wait a minute, why am I here? But, you know.
Amen.
You learn after a while, you know, and, you know, after a while, Brother Childers kicked me in the butt, you know, after a while I learn, get ahead of him where he can't reach me, you know, But, you know, it's a time, if ever was a time, you know. And I'm thinking, my Lord, what a day we live in. What an hour, what a revelation we have. I mean, you know, to come in here and to not give him all. You know, you think about Sister Alice, you know, she praise him till you have to pull the mic back, you know. Yeah. Let somebody else give a chance. Well, I think everyone ought to be like that.
Yeah.
You know, say, hold it. Let me say something. Yeah. Interrupting each other because we have to, or else we won't get nothing in. You know, I think we need to look at this a little bit different. You know, maybe I don't know what I'm talking about, but I think we need to look at it a little bit different. I don't like being lulled to sleep. I don't like dragging my feet. You know, I don't like walking slow. I don't like being close to the mic, nothing to say. You know, I got something to say. I got a rejoicing in my heart. I got a revelation that the devil can't do anything with. He can't touch me at all. And I know that. And I'm going to come here with my head hung down? I don't think so. I don't think so. I've got something to get accomplished here. I know who I am. I come to praise him. You know, sometimes sometimes it's a time to cry. Sometimes it's a time to think on things and thank him and be reverent. There's times maybe just to throw it all off and let some steam out, you know.
Yeah.
And I think, my God, let us rejoice in this thing. You know, Paul said rejoice. He said, again, I say rejoice. You know, and there's so much there. If we want to concentrate on something. Concentrate on that. Not your faults, not your failures, not your problems, not what the devil did today.
Right.
I could tell you things the devil did today. It bore you to death. It wouldn't touch God at all. But you know, the thing that touched him, he dwells in the praises of his people.
Amen.
You know, if there's ever a people that should be praising and on our feet and rejoicing, arms up, and can't wait to get here. Brother Branham even said that. We can't wait to see one another again.
Yes.
We can't wait to see somebody else like precious faith.
Right.
You know, and I'm not rebuking. I'm talking about me.
Yes.
Start with me. You know, let me get up spinning around three times.
Amen.
You know, let God have his way, you know, in my life. I just, you know, I like to sing that song again while we're getting him up, you know. The one sister that you were singing there. Yeah. Oh, when I think on the goodness of Jesus. And that's all it takes. That's all it takes. You meet him right there in his word. And he'll meet you so quick it'll spin your head around. Lord, let me pull up to you. Let me pull up to you. Oh, when I think on the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, then my soul.
Time.
Oh, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, oh yes, my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise God for saving.
I like how she slowed that down. I had another song in my head as well.
I sing because I'm happy, and I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, so I know
that again. Hallelujah. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. Oh, I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, so I know sing that again. Hallelujah. Help me sing it. I sing because I'm happy, and I sing because I know I'm free. Hallelujah. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. Yes, His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. One more time, hallelujah. I sing because I'm happy, and I sing because I'm free. Oh, His eye is on the sparrow, so I know He watches me.
Amen. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, thank You for this opportunity to come together tonight. Like they said, remove all distractions and any weight that may so easily beset you. Let us come together for whatever small amount of time in comparison to our whole week that we get to spend with You, Lord. Just with Your word and Your word alone. We don't want to worry about bills, kids, problems, or anything else, Lord. Let us step into eternity and just worship You for a little bit. Lord, move the hearing speaker out of the way. Remember the prayer requests that were spoken and unspoken. Lord, touch my mom. Touch Brother Isaiah. Touch the Brinkmans. Thank You, Lord, for Your healing power on me. Touch Sister Karen and Brother AJ as they go through this pregnancy, Lord. Just bless the body as they're here, Lord. And remember Pastor Moore as he travels. And bless the service tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A couple of announcements here. As you guys will notice, we got the camera right there. So that's the elephant in the room. Don't act like you didn't see it. It's been sitting there. But it's for so we can get ready for the Philippines. It's a trial run here, so Brother Doug may get up and move it around and do those kind of things. So just get out of his way. He's a big guy. He goes to move it. Also, with that, we got a little receiver here, and it probably was giving us a little bit of feedback on the other one because we got it on that as well, so we can test out the volume there. So that's what's going on with that. So that'll probably be a couple services as we get ready for the Philippines, so you guys be aware of that. Because we want to be able to – that'd be pretty awesome to be able to capture the services in the Philippines. That'll be nice to see, so I'm excited about that. Appreciate you, Brother Praveen, back there getting that together, and Brother Doug for doing that. Then also we got in April, Brother Tony Jarbisa will be here doing the services, so look forward to him coming. We got a Saturday night service and then Sunday service. They're going to have food on Sunday, is that right? Sunday following the service, and then there'll be no Bible study that day as well. And then right after that, Pastor Moore goes to the Philippines, so... we've got a pretty busy couple weeks coming up, so just be ready for that. Also, Sunday after service, this Sunday after service, we're going to practice voices. Got a couple songs picked out that should be fairly easy, so as far as you guys know them. So I'm trying to think of a collaboration with the youth choir and everybody else. I was going to say Voices of the Bride, but it's just everybody else. So the youth choir and everybody else. So Hopefully that goes well as well. So got that off my plate. I'm ready to get into it. I'm looking forward to what God's going to do. You never really know if what you have prepared is in the right way. And every now and again, you'll have different thoughts. And you're like, well, this direction or that direction. But when the brother said, you got to give God something to work with, I was like, there we go. It's vindication. Because I want to talk about restoration. And, Brother Jeremiah talked about, why we the need for a prophet. And, we got that. We got some very clear, directions there, even over in Amos, talking about God will do nothing unless he first reveals it to a prophet. Then we had the opportunity on Sunday night to talk about the messengers. We talked about characteristics of a prophet, how they'll speak, thus say the Lord, the divine. I mean, he talked about all that stuff. But, there was messengers, and then there was a prophet. And then, but to be able to get to the end time, Brother Branham's job was twofold. So he had to restore to give God something to work with before we could go into the hidden things. Now, I would love to tell you that my message tonight is about the hidden things, but I probably only get to talk about that a little bit. What I have prepared and what God's put on my mind is talking about restoration. But, you don't get to the hidden things without restoration. And so we're going to talk about that tonight. I'm looking forward to it because, it had to be restored. And, and I got excited even as I was studying. I got here a little early and I was studying, and I didn't have the picture of the church ages. And I got some stuff in here and I got over here and I was walking through and I was like, 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. Whoa. And then I saw how all these things tied together. So hopefully it enthuses you like it enthused me. I saw it and I was excited about it. So, even when we talk about the messengers, Paul, Irenaeus, Martin Luther, Wesley, Branham, they had jobs, right? And we got to read about what their jobs were. And that was great to read about what their jobs were. But it was important. But there were some things that happened throughout there that God already prophesied about. God had prophesied what would happen even through the ages. He had prophesied what would happen. So we're going to go over, and just for context, the church world misses everything. They're late to every party. They're late all the time. And, I was talking to somebody this week about church, and they used to go to church here. And they said, Brother Kevin's getting married? And I was like, yeah, I knew that. And they said, do you know Kara's pregnant? I said, yeah, I knew that. Right? But you're missing it. You're late to every party. You're just late when you're not right there at the source. You're late. Everything's a surprise to you. You showing up late. You don't know all these things. And that's the same thing with the church world. They were late to Moses' party. They were late to Jesus' party. They're late to this party. Now we're talking about restoration. The church world is just finally starting to see that Brother Branham had two messages. But that means they don't even know about the hidden things. They're still late to that party. But, we're just going to clarify some things tonight. But I just looked at this. They're always late. They're always late. It's been prophesied, and they don't even look for it. They don't look for it. So let's get over into a scripture. Tonight we're going to read over in Joel, and I know Jeremiah knows right where I'm going. So we're going to read over in Joel chapter 1, verse 4. And then we're going to go to Joel chapter 2, verse 25 and 26. Now, just for context, I got this from the Restoration of the Bride Tree. This is Brother Branham had preached this in 1962, right before the seals were open. Restoration. That had to happen. So let's go read this. It says, and this is verse 4. It says, that which the palmer worm hath left hath the locust eaten. And that which the locust hath left, the cankerworm hath eaten. And that which the cankerworm hath left hath the caterpillar eaten. Now just so we can see why I got excited, because that's four things. The palmer worm, the locust, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar. That's four things. One, two, three, four. That's right there. That's the four things. That which it had eaten. So basically what had happened, it was eaten away. And whatever was left, the next one came and ate away. Whatever was left, the next one came and ate away. To the point where in Columba's age, it was pretty much total darkness. Now let's go over and read in Joel chapter 2, verse 25 and 26. And you'll see why I was excited. Because it's been prophesied. It said, "And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dwelt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed." All that happened there was destruction of God's word. Now you go, okay, Brother Jay, what are you getting at? Those things had to be restored before you could get to the hidden things. Now I'm excited and I'm struggling with my words a little bit, but what had to happen was God had to bring that stuff back so that way you can have rapturing faith. Full obedience to every word entitles you to the token. You hear these quotes going on, but what had to happen is God had to restore what was lost. And you go, well, what was lost, Brother Jay? Well, you saw the play, the Nicene Council happened. There were some things that happened that got taken away, stripped away from God's word through those ages. And the thing about this, God is such a masterful architect, because even we're going to keep going here, but when you go through this thing, the Nicene Council, they wanted a unity of the churches. They wanted to form the holidays. That's where we get Easter. That's where we get Christmas. That's where you get the movement of Jesus' birthday. That's when you get all these things that they did. They stripped away the word of God to make the word of God of no effect. Amen. They wanted to make a uniform council of religion so that way God wouldn't be able to move at all. Right. They wanted traditions of men that could be duplicated and manufactured. And you go, okay, well, what? Really, Brother Jay? Yes, really. Amen. That's what happened. That's why we have Easter when we have it. That's why they celebrate Christ's birth in December. They moved it. Sure. They moved it. Amen. You think you're going to be at a manger when it's freezing? No. Come on. Come on. Amen. They did all these things, even the baptismal. They turned it into a trinity. They turned the baptism into a trinity, and they say it and don't even know it. You would be a Baptist church, and they'll say, "We're not Trinity. Now we're going to cite the Trinity Creed, and we're going to say the Trinity thing." They don't even know that they're deceived. They'll say the God, the Father, the Son, the Spirit, and it's a trinity when they say it. Right. That had to be restored. Amen. Those things had to be restored. The true word of God had to be restored back to the principal state. Paul even said it. He said, even now grievous wolves are trying to enter in. It was prophesied that this was going to happen. He saw it coming to pass. He saw the church world going through there and doing that destruction. But praise God, it had already been prophesied that God will restore back to us all the things that we had lost. Oh, my. That gets me turned on because you think about that, even with Job, that's what got Job through. Yeah. Job saw what would happen when God has the ability to restore. Right. He said, even if this goes down into the grave, my flesh will see God. He has did this with the trees. He did this with the leaves. He will restore unto me. In matter of fact, we quote these scriptures all the time. The joy of the Lord is my strength. He shall renew me as wings of eagles and mountains. You quote these scriptures, don't even know what you're talking about. Amen. You don't even understand that there are people that don't even know that the church ages exist. They don't even know that the Nicene Council came along and blindfolded them. They're serving a fake God that they can't see. There used to be a time period that you had to walk behind the holies of holies to be able to touch God. And those people are still serving a God that they don't know where he's at. They're still trying to go to the holies of holies. They still want the Pope to act as intercessory. But I don't need somebody to talk between me and God. It's me and God. He lives in me. I don't need an intercessory. I don't need a mediator anymore. It's just me and God as one. Oh, my. Now you can no longer separate the two. We're one now. Oh, my. See, when you see it like that, you see what God is trying to do. Oh, my. Then it gets me to another scripture. This is what got me even more excited because I was just running around rambling. Look at this scripture here. Look at this scripture here. John 2 and 19. Now, the thing about it is, and Kara even said it, when we were young and this stuff was being preached, We weren't paying attention, so we didn't know why y'all were hollering. We didn't know why you were excited. We didn't know why you were trying to hand out church age books. We didn't know why you were trying to convert your family and trick them into listening into the stories. We didn't know what you were seeing. Amen. But now I see it, and I'm like, everybody in my family needs a church age book. Let me tell you what books to read. Let me tell you what messages to follow. Let me show you how good God is. I'm feeling like Seth tonight saying, why would I worry when I know what God's been doing? I see the eternal plan of God from the beginning, from when he was Elohim to now. And you want me to be worried about some bills? I'm sorry. I see too much. You want me to be worried about a health problem? I'm sorry. I see too much. You want me to be worried about a family member? I'm sorry. I see too much. Oh, my. You know what I even saw over here? A quote. Then I'm going to go to my scripture here. This is a quote from Brother Branham. And I had this in here for you, Brother Don. And it said, if Satan has robbed you of the privilege of being a son or a daughter of God, we have the right this evening by the Holy Spirit to enforce the claim of God and bring them back. Amen. Said, you said you want Brother Adam? He said, if he's afflicted you and made you sick, we have the right before God to enforce the laws of God. Amen. By his stripes we're healed, amen. Bring them back. Turn them loose. Yeah. You're taking him out of yonder to death and we claim him. Bring him back. Amen. Now that's enforcement. Amen. Restore it back to its natural condition again. Amen. Oh, I got too much power. Amen. I got too much authority. I'm backed by too much word. Oh, you know what? I'm kind of like how those demons were, and they were looking at Jesus and saying, Paul, I know. This I know. Now I'm looking around saying, they got to say, James, I know. I have to say it. He speaks just like Jesus speaks. He's somebody that speaks with authority. I'm backed by the full word of God. I see the whole plan. Oh, they say, well, it was prophesied that there would be a group that would know what it is. Yes. Hello? I'm here now. Amen. Rest, little bride. Amen. It's time to go home now. Amen. There is a group that knows what it is. Amen. Oh, and I can even look at it and say, you know what? Even when Brother Childers were on the scene, it wasn't a whole group like it is now. All right. Wasn't. When Brother Branham was on the scene, it wasn't a whole group like it is now. The body has been growing. The body has been moving. The body has been progressing. Because I'd have to say it, if it was a group like this, that means we didn't progress.
Yeah, that's right.
I'd have to say it. Brother Branham even said, they said, Brother Branham, don't you think they're all getting it? I can count it on one hand. Oh, there was a time when Brother Childers opened up his shirt and said, if you want to see God, look right here. There was people who go, what? You're God? Making yourself equal with God? How could you do it? Now I see people testifying. Oh, if you just touch me right. If you just look at me right. If you just hold the door right. I know what it is. I don't even have to move my jacket. Just touch the hem of my garment. And I'll say, virtue has left me. Amen. Woo! Who touched me? Amen. Oh, my shadow can heal somebody. Oh, I know what it is. Yes. It's time to start acting like it now. Amen. Oh, I've been restored. Come on, the power is here now. Yes. When you don't have restoration, you don't got that power. See, the church world will try to denominate and they'll go, well, he restored your soul. No, my soul didn't need restored. My soul was perfect. When I got my soul, God's life in there, perfect. See, the church world have you thinking, oh, he's going to restore your flesh. I don't need this dirty flesh. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. You know what he's restoring? The only thing he cares about, his word. That's it. And my only job is to say yay and amen. That entitles me to the token. Oh, everything it holds. See, the church world have you going, oh, you got to know this quote. You got to know this scripture. You got to know this. You got to know that. Shut up, devil. You're trying to make me walk to the holies of holies. You're trying to put a tradition together that you can kind of doubt and go, well, if you didn't speak in tongues, then maybe that's probably why you don't have God's healing power. That's what they throw that in there for. It's all excuses. They're built-in excuses. Oh, you ever deal with somebody you know they're going to lose something? They start already making up excuses before the game's over. Oh, whoo, my leg is hurting. I would be running a little faster, but I'm not 100% today. But I'm going to give it all my God. Give it all you got. I'm more than a conqueror.
I'm going to win.
I'm going to win. He's already saw me finish this thing. If I got to make it laying down, I'm going to finish this thing. If you got to carry me, pick me up and take me in. I am going to finish this race. He's already saw me finish. He saw me as a completed work. Do you know that the ages are a picture of the end of the age? That means he saw me finish this thing. See, the church world, that's another thing that they put in there. They want to look at it as the beginning. It's the end of the age. That's what the end of the ages looks like. He sees me at the end. This is just a shadow of what I look like. Oh, I look good. Thank you. But this is a shadow. This is a shadow. Just wait when I'm able to move like a thought. Just wait. And I step in. Nothing hinders me. That's why when we come in here to step into eternity, we should just travel like a thought. My mind goes to that scripture, this scripture, that quote to this quote, that healing to this healing, that blessing to this blessing. Oh, I'm all over it. I see God moving all the time. You want me to doubt now? I can look at somebody and say, I remember when you couldn't get pregnant and then you had some kids. Boom, I can go to the next one. I remember when you couldn't do blah, blah, blah. I can see when God this, and I said, God that, God that. You want to sit and complain to me? I'm like, I'm sorry. I done seen too many blessings. I done seen too many blessings. I done seen too many healings. And matter of fact, there was a time that you needed miracles. Let's talk about that. Brother Branham needed miracles. He needed miracles. During that first stage of the ministry, he needed those miracles. He needed to draw those people. Why? They were coming out of Pentecost. Come on. We talked about it Sunday night. They were coming out of Pentecost. They were coming out of Pentecost. 1906 to what? 1909, Azusa Street. Don't know the dates or whatever. I'll get them all a little bit mixed up. But they were coming out of Pentecost right there. Where there was a movement of the people would say, was it save, sanctify, save, what? I forget, was save, sanctify, and filled with the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. That was their statement. Every testimony, they get up, they were speaking in tongues, they were moving. They had seen God move miraculously. They needed to see God move miraculously. It was important. That's why it was important for Brother Branham to live a certain life. That man was going to be restoring the word. And he had another job, but we ain't going to talk about tonight. He had to take care of his. I don't want to lose fact that Brother Branham had two jobs. You go, Brother Jay, why do you got to keep mentioning it? Because there's people that don't know it. I want to make sure you know I did my homework. I want to make sure you know I know what I'm talking about. Brother Branham had two jobs. He restored the word and he revealed the hidden things. But you can't reveal the hidden things until the word is restored. Let's make sure we get that in there. But Brother Branham had to have those miracles. He needed to do the healings. He needed to be vindicated. That way he could show these people that God was with him. That God was with him. But to show you how crazy the world is, you know what broke up the Pentecostal movement? Not necessarily broke it up, but just divided it when they were over there. Racism. Crazy. Pentecostal movement started there. All these people get together. Woo. Praising God. Mainly blacks at night. Praising God. And the whites was like, it's too noisy. Keep it down. Keep it down. God ain't that good. Slaves. That's the time period. Time period. Come on. History lesson. And they started seeing some things happen. It's like, well, maybe speaking in tongues is important. Maybe it's getting around a little bit. They wanted a little bit of the notoriety, that fame, so to speak. That's really what the church was called, too. First African Methodist Presbyterian Episcopal. I'm messing it all up, but it's fame is what that was. They wanted a little piece of that. So then the white church gets their own Pentecostal movement. And they can't join together. Now, the guy that started it all, his dream was that the churches would fellowship together. That would be more wonderful of God being vindicated than speaking in tongues. That was what he mentioned. Like, you know, if the churches could not be segregated, too bad. That time period didn't work out. They segregated. So the whites create the largest Pentecostal movement, and the blacks create the largest Pentecostal movement. And instead of staying together, they split. That's why you got those two movements. That's why you got AME churches. And you go to AME church, I guarantee you, it's more blacks than there are whites. It's just how it works. They're still racist. They don't even know it. They're fooled. They've been tricked and bamboozled, just like the rest of the world when it comes to Nicaea Council, just like when it comes to baptismal. It's just a trick of the devil to separate people that want to be believers.
Amen.
But I love how the Bible says that if it were possible, see, I got too much scripture. I got too much scripture to be deceived. If it were possible, it would deceive the very elect. But it's not possible. Come on. I can't be deceived. Racism can't deceive me. Money can't deceive me. Fame can't deceive me. Oh, Brother Branham said money, popularity, and women. None of those three can deceive me. I can't be deceived. I'm a believer. See? Oh, my. Man, I see too much.
Amen.
Let's go over here and read this scripture. I got interrupted. Sorry. There's another thing with the numbers. I get a kick out of when things run. They thrill me. When things run, I'm like, my goodness, God is good. There's another number. Now, and here's the thing. I don't claim to be a teacher. I don't claim to be some theologian. If I'm wrong on a number, Pastor Moore, Brother Jeremiah, correct me, and I'll be just all right. I had a good time while I was preaching it anyway. Correct me. Fine with me. I ain't got no shame in it. They should know what it is. Right? It's the house of correction. We're all going to get it. I'm not going to slacken this. But let's go read this scripture. Then we're going to look at some numbers again real quick. Scripture is John 2 and 19. It says, let me get over here. Well, yeah, I'm just going to read verse 19. Jesus answered and said unto them, I'm coming over here. Now I got a chance. Destroy this temple. Yes. Spend your 4 days trying to destroy this temple. Right. And in 3 days, right. I will raise it up. Right. I will restore it.
Amen.
Huh. 4 days to destroy, 3 days to raise it up. Perfectly typed out right there. And let's go over to another scripture because I'm excited. Let's see here. Let me get this scripture here. Because, yeah, John chapter 16, verse 12. We're in a little bit of reading. But... You guys are going to be excited like I'm excited. Jesus, now, this is Brother Isaiah said. Brother Isaiah said red letter is means something. So we're going to trust Brother Isaiah tonight. It says, I have yet, this is Jesus talking, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. So he'll prophesy. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and I will show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while... Now, this part, when I saw this, because we know when I say Brother Branham had that second job to do, we know that was Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Right. Right? We're all in agreement. That Jesus was the only one that could open the books. Right. Jesus was the only one that could open the seals. Yeah. Jesus was the only one that could do that. So when I say Brother Branham, the believers, we know who really did the job.
Amen.
Now, listen to how this scripture reads. A little while... And ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. But before I get there, you shall see me. You're going to have to see me again. I'm going to have to come and open up some things. Jesus came and opened up those books. He was the one that opened it up. But until the things were restored, he couldn't come back. He had to come back to full word.
Amen.
Brother Branham said, full obedience to every word entitles you to the token. If you've got creed and dogmas and traditions and rituals and traditions of men, that does not entitle you to the full word of God. You need the full word of God to bring restoration, to bring rapturing faith. That's what's required in this hour to get out of here. You want to talk about giving God something to work with? He wants his word and his word only. Oh. He has to ride in on that. That's what I have to ride in. When he, the spirit of truth, has come, he will lead and guide you into all things. See, we see too much now. We see too much. You know, there's that, you know, Brother Branham even said, you know, God couldn't marry a bride with one breast. God couldn't do this. God couldn't do that. What was he talking about? He needed it all to be restored. He needed it perfect.
Right.
He needed it perfect.
Amen.
See, the church world put all these other isms on there. Oh, well, if you have a problem, you got this, you got that. God ain't worried about you as an individual, so to speak. He's looking at a bride body.
Right.
How does this all tie together as a bride body?
Right.
That's how that thing works. Right. See, the church world has it all wrong, but we got it all right.
Amen.
We got it so right. It's just so easy to be right. I mean, it's just so easy to be right. I mean, when you think about it, and the thing about it is that it's easy to a believer to just pick up on it. We see this and we just go, that's nothing but the truth.
Amen.
Church ages, the messengers, the prophet, that makes sense. Church world, they go, why do you really need a prophet? Well, because the Bible says you need a prophet. Well, it doesn't explicitly. Yes, it does. In Amos. It says he will do nothing unless he first reveals it to the prophet. Any major event, God's going to have to bring a prophet. I would say the rapture is a pretty major event.
Yeah.
And then if you got, you say the rapture, they go, the rapture? Well, when is that going to happen? Shortly. It's coming to pass quickly.
Amen.
Well, how do you know that? Well, do you know what time it is?
Right.
Do you know what time it is? See, the church world don't know what time it is.
Right.
They don't know what time it is. They're operating like it's the beginning of the workday. And I'm at the time clock ready to check out. I'm saying, you don't know what time it is, bub.
Man.
You don't know what time it is. It's time to go home.
Yes.
All the work has been finished.
Amen.
You're doing stuff that somebody's already done.
Right.
It's time to go now.
Yeah.
Church world don't know that. They're not looking for restoration. They don't even know they lost anything. That's why they're not looking for restoration. They don't think they lost anything. They think Catholicism is all right. They think Baptist, okay. They think Methodist, all right. And then you got people that look at it on the outside, and they got a little bit of atheism to them. They go, well, all of these can't be right. Because you guys are excommunicating each other. So they step back, and they're just dumb enough not to believe them, but too stupid to believe God. They just step back and go, well, they all can't be. Somebody's got to be the right. Who's going to be right? God doesn't denominate. Start there. Never does.
Amen.
Whenever church world denominate, God steps right off the sea. Right? Matter of fact, that's what it says. It says, come out of her, my people.
Right.
Come out of her, my people.
Right.
He didn't want to go in. He was on the outside knocking, saying, come on out. Come on out of her, my people. See, the church world's got to say, he's not going to come in. No, he's not going to get you out. It's not what he said. He said, come out of her, my people. But you see how they put a little slant on it. They put a little denomination on there.
Right.
Jesus wants to come into your heart. If Jesus don't already got your heart, he ain't going to get it.
That's right.
He said, all that the Father have given me will come.
Amen.
And I will in no ways cast out.
Right.
Oh, my. See, they put these slant on things. And you don't even realize that they're putting a slant on it. And you listen to them now and you go, that is a slant. They want me to give my heart to God. If God don't already have it, you can't give it to him. He doesn't want it. If he doesn't already have it, he doesn't want it. He came to redeem that which was already his. His own. Yeah, the church world's got him. You got you thinking he's redeeming everybody. God is not the father of everybody. He doesn't want everybody. Matter of fact, you go, well, Brother Jay, oh, no, God is loving. No, he's not. He said, Jacob, I loved. Esau, I hated. And they were in their mother's womb. Had not done good or evil.
Amen.
Oh, well, that's just one example. Okay, you Pharisees.
He said, why can't you hear my words? Because you are of your father, the devil. That sounds like maybe he doesn't want everybody. Maybe there's a certain elect. Ooh. Elect. See, now you see these terms coming around and they mean something to you now. I'm the elect. Those that he's called, he's chosen. Oh, that he's glorified, that he's justified, that he's sanctified. All things work together for those people. Now you see why I'm not worried. Now you see why I can sing. Now you can see why I'm happy. I got no strings on me now. I'm free. Oh, see, church world wants to put you in bondage. They want to hold you down. They want serving God to be something that you got to work up. I serve God with every heartbeat. It's easy to serve God. Oh, my, my, my. Restoration. Brother Branham had a big job. Had a big job and he did it. He did a great job with it. He restored baptism. Restored this. Restored. We know the list. You got to go down there. But he did his job. Which would make way for the next job. He himself. Even John the Baptist said, I must decrease so that he can increase. Even Brother Branham, the miracles were great. Getting all these people together. Restoration was great. He said, but I got to make way for something else. Something greater. There's something greater on the scene now. When the seals were opened, something greater was on the scene. That's why I even like to say restored and revealed. Restored brought you back to something that you already had. That brings back. We had the word of God in its purest sense, and it got tarnished. Great, we got it back. But I want something extra. Amen. You know, they always just say restoration plus, and they put a slant on that. I want the revealed things. Amen. I want the hidden things. Yeah. I want the things that shows me the whole plan of God. Right. Don't just walk me through the ages. No. Show me the Old Testament saints. Amen. Show me what God was doing before he was God. Sure. Where were you, Job? Yeah. When the sons and daughters shouted for glory. Yeah. I'm shouting for glory. Yeah. Oh, my, my, my. We got too many scriptures, Brother Jeremiah. Yeah. We got too many quotes that back this thing up. Yeah. If you don't want it, don't worry about it. Leave me alone. Yeah. Don't try to change me now. Yeah. It's too late. I'm in too deep. Just save yourself. Right. I'm happy here. Go on, save yourself. I enjoy what I got. Amen. This thing makes everything better. Yeah. Everything's better. Funerals are better. Life is better. Raising kids is better. Being married is better. Serving God is better. I know who God is. Oh, my, my, my. Do you know the fear that happens to people that don't know if God can even hear them? Oh, my gosh. We've been around people like that. Oh, just remember me. Hopefully God knows who I am. Knows who I am. He knows my thoughts are far off. He knows them before I'm thinking them. He knows my needs before I even speak them. Matter of fact, he wants me to just say it so he can do it. That he's waiting for me to ask him for something. He said, ask what you will. Matter of fact, he's given me so much authority. He said that whatever you loose, I'll loose. Whatever you bind, I'll bind. See, the church world, they don't know where God is. They don't know what God wants. They don't know what God sounds like. They don't know what God looks like. They don't know where God resides. They don't know how to fellowship with God. They couldn't see God if he came in their midst. You go, oh, Brother Jay, what are you getting at? The Jews have been praying for God their whole life. Walked in there and they killed him. They have been praying for a Savior their entire life. Their whole time, they knew they needed a sacrifice. They knew just enough to not know where God was. They knew they needed a sacrifice. They had a revelation on the fact that they needed to give a sacrifice, that it had to be a blood sacrifice, that they had to do that. So they made a tradition. Then they made a ritual. Then they made a law. Then they made this. Then they made that. So much so that when Jesus himself, the sacrifice that they had been waiting on, walked in their midst, they killed him. Oh, Brother Jay, that's not right. Yeah, it is right. That's exactly what happened. You go through, read through your history. They put that sacrifice and they were just pushing their sins forward. They knew it wasn't doing away with the sins. That's why they had to live such a holy life. They were trying to limit the amount of sins that were getting pushed forward. They were trying to limit the amount of sins that they had in their lineage. They were trying to limit that because they knew they were just pushing them forward. But when the sacrifice showed up, they didn't know what to do with it. So much so that Jesus had to say, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. That's Bible, red letter. Brother Isaiah said, that's Jesus talking. I love what we get here. I love the balance. I love the understanding. I love the common sense. I love how it just keeps us right in the middle of the road. And I love how we always get something for God to work with. Restoration. God bless you, Brother Jeremiah. I'm gonna take off all these mics.
More work to be done now.
Yes, sir.
Hold on just a second.
No worries. I think I got this one. Am I doing it wrong? There we go.
A little bit more difficult now.
Yeah.
We'll get it figured out. I enjoyed that a lot. From the start to the finish.
Yes.
It's a good word, good eating.
Yes.
And, you know, there is nothing like, you know, just for anybody could speak for themselves. You know, my wife's been talking about it, how she's paying attention now and learning things. But when you see this Bible run, you know, you see the things we've talked about over the years. And those four insects, I mean, just stop, go over that again, you know. Look at that, first four. Now, what went in? Perfect word, a seed with the word that was perfect, right? And then that insect started eating away, eating away, eating away. And it was four stages of that, right? And then Brother Branham said if there was four death messengers that ate at it, there's four life messengers that brought it back. So let's count. Justification, that's one. Sanctification, that's two. Restoration of the gifts, baptism of the Holy Ghost, that's three. But then what happened? The full restoration of the word so that life itself could come back. Life. That's the four stages. He himself showed up. And so this Bible runs. And you said it right, Brother James. God wasn't going to come for something imperfect. He wanted it perfect. He wanted it, you know, we use natural terms sometimes to describe what's going on spiritually, but we talk about, you know, he wanted a virgin wife. Well, what does that mean? He wants a pure wife. If you have creeds and dogmas messed in with your message, you're not pure. He wanted somebody to have pure, full word, no leaven. Perfect. That's why it had to be restored. Amen. Then he could come and say, that's who I'm marrying. I'm coming myself. He himself showed up as in that fourth stage. Amen. So it's beautiful. It's wonderful. And that's why over the years, you know, we've talked about it here. You know, that's where Brother Branham, he always talked about four stages. That corn of wheat. You know, you're talking about that corn, right? And Steve, you have to help me if I get these wrong, but he talked about the two blades coming up. And then he said, stalk, tassel, husk, and life, is it? I got the stages right? But four stages,
right,
even in the tree. So it's always been four. And that's how God works through his processes. There's three up there. There's seven up there. There's four up there.
Yeah.
But you know what gets excited? That's why I get excited about the quote when Brother Branham said, no more threes, no more sevens, no more numbers, no more such things as time. Why? Not to try to make it too complicated. It's done. We took the four, took it in. The four brought it out. The justification, sanctification, baptism, and Holy Ghost has happened. Those threes and those fours and those sevens are done. So that's why we say now we're in the eighth day. Another way to say he's here himself, that we married him. And so this is exciting. And God is a restorer. That's one of his attributes is to restore. One, he's restored the word. That's done. But you know, what did David say one time? Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. God likes to restore. He don't even like to give up. You know, because I was thinking about that as you were preaching. Even in our own life, sometimes we'll just stop and give up. But ask God to restore it. He didn't, you know, he's still working on restoration of this whole earth. Think about it now. Because what did Brother Branham say? He's going to restore us back to the Garden of Eden condition. He didn't give up when Adam and Eve fell. He said, I'll just restore this whole thing. And he restored here. He's restoring the earth. He's restored joy of our salvation. He can restore something in your life if that's what you need.
That's right.
God is a restorer. So don't take restoration light.
Amen.
It was needed, and it's an attribute of God.
Yes,
Thank God for restoration.
Thank God we got back what Paul had.
You know, as I read the message about the message this week, you know, every one of those first four messengers, Brother Branham talked about how much gifts were in their lives. Healings, miracles. You know, this is just for me. I've often thought when I explain lost things, I talk about the Trinity. I talk about, you know, three gods, one God, baptism without sin, you know, new birth without sensation. You know, they introduced the Pope. And but it hit me when I was reading these messengers. The other thing that had to get restored is their gifts.
Yeah, the gifts.
Gifts back in the body. Because they had them. And then what had to happen in that third age? The restoration of the gifts. They spoke in tongues. They saw miracles. And I'm glad you read some history. I had never thought about it, but you're right, Brother James. In 1906, there would have been a lot of segregation and racism. And because, well, Brother Branham, if you know Brother Branham's history, he was a Baptist. And his first marriage, his wife, and all of them said, don't get the Pentecostals. They're crazy. They're too excited. And yeah, and there's no doubt in my mind, you're probably right. Majority of the Pentecostals at that time are probably black Americans that knew how to get excited. And as Brother Churchill used to say, some of us white people needed that. And God sent Brother Branham in there and said, don't get starchy, go. Had to rebuke him. To the point where his first wife didn't want him to go so much, God had to kill her. Say, this is where we're going. This is the way. So I appreciate all you brought out. But thank God for restoration. You know, one of the main, you know, there's so many points to make, but one of the main points to make is what he was making all night long. Before he himself could come and back, he had to restore that word back. Because that's the only way he was coming back to Mary. He had to get back that full word first. First job had to happen first. John came before Jesus. Malachi 4 came before Revelations 10. That's the way it works. But I enjoyed that. Come on, musicians. Remember the announcements? Keep the prayer requests. Believe them for Brother Adam. I like that quote, too. They belong to us. Now, you talk about restoration. Restore my kids back to me. He's done that before. He did that for Job. So, and the prodigal son come back. So he's not, that's not nothing new either. So he can do that too. So just believe in those things and pray for all the needs. Keep the body in your prayer. And come back believing and praying for Brother Moore's safe journey. Let's page 7. Ain't God good? Ain't God good? He's given us so many blessings, undeserving. That's what we are. We are to thank Him for love and praise. A little more today and a whole lot more tomorrow.
You're dismissed.